I want you to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 9 and 10. We're going to draw some parallels this morning from the prayer of Jabez. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10 says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted what he requested." A little background on Jabez. The name Jabez means sorrow or pain. In biblical culture, a name represented both destiny and identity. His mother called his name Jabez based on her experience, not on his potential. So think about it. Every time his name was spoken, he heard pain and he heard sorrow. But Jabez refused to live under that label. And you and I who are in Christ Jesus, God has named us. God has labeled us. So let no man, let no circumstance label you than any less what God has labeled you. Thank you, Lord, that we are in Christ. His family in context. Jabez came from the tribe of Judah, which means praise. He was introduced in a genealogy, if you looked at it, with no stories. None of his kinfolk stand out. But Jabez rose above his lineage. How many of you know that you can rise above your family background? Why is that? Because you are in a new familia. You have a new padre. Amen. And so we don't have to then be living under the weight and the oppression of maybe what happened to us in the past. Whatever pain we have faced, Jesus came to bore our pain. So there's no record of wealth. There's no record of power or any status that Jabez had. His distinction was his prayer. The Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. When you look at the word honorable, it means he was weighty in character. He was noble in spirit. This is spiritually significant because honor draws divine attention. The Bible says that if we will honor him, what will he do? He will honor us. And so we see that Jabez was very honorable. We notice here that the prayer of Jabez contains a kingdom blueprint for enlargement and for sustaining grace. His prayer was kingdom-centered, and it was rooted in his intense desire to make a difference. This prayer still speaks to us today. The first thing he said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." This was not a selfish cry. But what this was a recognition that true blessing comes from God alone. And you see the word blessing in the law, the first mention in the book of Genesis. After God created man in his own image, male and female created them. In verse 28 of Genesis 1, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it.'" The word blessed there means he announced, he conferred, he spoke over them. And what he was speaking over them is be blessed, be increased, flourish in your life. And we see blessing throughout the whole Bible, do we not? We could think of scriptures like Ephesians 1:3, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He not only redeemed you from the curse, but he also, redemption brings you into the blessing. So the blessing is upon God's people. Glory to God. It's upon us. And we see this intent, this covenant intent, when God spoke to Abraham. And how many of you know that Abraham's blessings are ours? God spoke to him in Genesis 12, 2. He says, "And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you with the abundant increase of favors. And I'm going to make your name distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others." Amen. Now point to yourself and say, "I will be a blessing, dispensing good to others." One of my daily prayers, or regular prayers, is, "Lord, make me a blessing." The Lord will make you a blessing because his blessing is upon your life. In the book of Psalms, in verse 3 and verse 8, it says this, "Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." The blessing is upon you. Whether you feel like it or not. Whether you look like it or not. His blessing is up on you in the morning. His blessing is up on you at noontime. His blessing is up on you in the evening time. Thank God, I'm calling you blessed. I call you blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I call you blessed coming in and blessed going out. So what is this blessing? Well, I like this definition. The blessing is God's favor in and on your life. God's favor in and on your life, his provision flowing through your life, and then his will being done in your life. I want to encourage all of you to become blessing minded. We see in the Word of God that Jabez, he prayed for blessing. Well, what we do is we pray for the blessing that's already ours to be in manifestation of our life. We pray for his favor, his grace, his supernatural rest coming on every part of our life, spirit, soul, body, in every relationship, and even in the area of our finances. So pray this with me. Oh God, thank you that you have blessed me, that I may be a blessing. Now this next one that Jabez prayed, "Enlarge my territory." Enlarge my territory. What this means literally is, "Lord, enlarge my borders." Enlarge my borders. How many of you could use your borders being enlarged just a little bit? But now spiritually, what this means, enlarge thy borders, what this means is increase my influence. Increase my capacity. Increase my opportunities. See, Jabez was asking for expansion beyond the limits of his past. Beyond the limits of his pain. Amen. And so today, we pray for God to enlarge our capacity. In three areas, in vision, in opportunities, and in our resources. See, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Or the people run wild because they don't have any focus. They do not have something that they have gotten from the Lord that they can hold on to. What is a vision? One person says it this way, that vision is insight into God's plan that produces passion, direction, and perseverance. Vision is a clear, compelling picture of a preferred future. And it inspires and directs, and it will sustain action. Dr. Cho said this. He pastored the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea. Brenda and I went there on our 5-year anniversary here at church. We went to Seoul, Korea for one of their prayer conferences. It was an amazing time. Yeah. We walked into that church on a Wednesday afternoon, and there were about 30,000 people there praying. Yeah. It sounded like a thunder of power. People were praying. How many of you know the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Yeah. But here's what Dr. Cho said about vision. He says, if you will show me your vision, I will show you your future. Miles Monroe said this, vision is a preview of your future. I like what John Maxwell says it. He says, the future belongs to those who see possibilities before they become obvious. So how do we obtain a vision from the Lord? Well, we need to spend time with the greatest visionary of all time. If you will come close to God in prayer, He will come close to you. If you will petition Him concerning your life, and concerning the vision and the path that He has for you, He will show you. The scripture says that we're to call unto Him. Call unto Him. And what will He do? He'll put you on hold. He'll put you on call waiting. No, He says, call unto me and I'm going to answer you. And I'm going to show you. Yeah, you. And you and you and you. I'm going to show you. He says, I'm going to show you great and mighty things. Vision is attached to great and mighty things. One translation says, I will unveil and reveal to you those things that have been fenced in and hidden from you. He will open the eyes of your understanding. He will flood your inner man with light. And as He does, you'll be able to see clearly what you've never seen before. You'll be able to hear clearly what you've never heard before. And His vision and His enlargement shall be imparted unto you. Say of me, oh God, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my vision. Then how about this? An enlargement of opportunities. You know, the Apostle Paul said something like this. He said, for a wide door of opportunity for effectual service has been opened unto me. And so we know this, that God gives opportunities that we could never figure out. He gives opportunities that you could never manufacture. He is God, after all.
He is God.
Amen. How many of you can testify this morning that the God of opportunities has opened up some great ineffectual doors from you in the past? Well, I got good news for you. He ain't finished yet. He's going to take you from opportunity to opportunity. Amen. And one way that He does this, He opens to us windows of light. Windows of light. What's a window of light? A window of light is a divine opening where God's truth, where God's blessing and revelation shine into your life, giving you clarity, giving you direction, and giving you breakthrough. It's God giving you revelation, direction, and divine opportunity. So be attentive to listen. Be attentive to see what God is saying to you. Now, along with the windows of light, He also gives, opens doors of opportunities. Amen. Doors of opportunities. What is a door of opportunity? It's a God-open pathway that gives you access to new levels of purpose, new levels of blessing, new levels of influence, and new levels of effectiveness. You see, a door of opportunity is this. It's an invitation for you and I to step into the next level of blessing and the next level of influence and responsibility. Amen. Say it with me, doors of opportunities. And you know what? He happens to be the God that opens doors that no man can shut. Now, one thing I've discovered about opportunities, sometimes they're time sensitive. So you've got to be very led by the Spirit of God to pick up the cues on the inside of the timing of things. And when those doors of opportunity open to you and you know it's God, walk through it.
That's right.
It takes faith to walk through it.
Yes.
It takes faith to take a step toward that opportunity. Thank God it does. Because God is a faith God. And He requires His people to trust Him. How many of you can tell me today that you've trusted God before and He has ordained your steps? And He has led you right into some golden opportunities. Business opportunities. How about unexpected open doors? How about strategic divine appointments?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So get in faith for that. Expect that. Here's another door that He'll open to you. He'll open unto you a door of utterance. What does that mean, a door of utterance? A door of utterance means He'll give you words to speak to people. You know, you just don't go around half-cocked speaking to everybody about the Lord. But how many of you know there are some supernatural setups He has for you? There's some people that He will put near you. There are some people that He will place within the sphere of your influence. And He will give you a door of utterance. He'll give you the ability to speak a word to a weary soul.
Amen.
And you know, you don't have to be using Elizabethan English to do it. You don't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord." No, you can just let the Holy Spirit flow through you and bring a word of encouragement and bring a word of blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Everyone say it with me, doors of opportunities. I love that.
Amen.
And then He will enlarge our resources. So we've got windows of light, we've got doors of opportunities, and then resources. What is that? That means streams of provision.
Amen.
Streams of provision.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, let's read it together. Ready, read. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having in all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. The Amplified says, God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Amen. Part of the grace of God is to save you. Another part of the grace of God is to enable you to serve Him. They're serving grace. Another part of the grace of God is standing grace. Amen? We sang that song, Standing, didn't we not?
Yes.
Isn't that what the Apostle Paul did when he went before the Lord and said, "This thorn in the flesh, I'm begging you to take it from me"? What did God say? God said, "I've given you the ability to stand in my grace and to make it through what you are facing." But then there is the grace of giving. There's the grace of being generous. And your God is able, glory to God, to increase your resources.
Amen.
I better say that again, because some of you are looking at me like, "Is He really?" Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God is able. Amen. He can do the exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. He is God after all. So what do these streams of provision look like? It looks like financial increase. It looks like unexpected provision. How about this one? Debt reduction. Amen. Debt reduction. When we came into this building back in 2007, this is when the building was dedicated. This was a movie theater, if many of you know. The price tag to convert this, to buy the property, was over $9 million. And by the grace of God, we paid it down about three.
Hallelujah.
So all we owe is $6 million. I'm believing in supernatural debt reduction. Amen. I believe that God is speaking to people to help us pay this building off. Glory to God. Debt reduction. How many of you could use some debt reduction in your home?
Yes.
Understand this. This is your home.
Yes.
If this is your church,
yes.
This is the place that God has set you and established you. So somebody say it with me. Thank God for debt reduction. How else does this look? He multiplies your seed sown. The next thing that Jabez prayed, he said that your hand would be with me. What does the hand of the Lord represent? The hand of the Lord represents his presence, his power, and his direction. He's saying, Lord, let your hand be with me. Let your empowering presence be with me. Friends, when his hand is with you, there is protection. Why? Because his hand shields us. His hand covers us. His hand preserves us. The psalmist said it like this, your right hand upholds me. Isaiah said it like this, I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. So when the hand of the Lord is present, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. There's protection when the hand of the Lord is with you. There is also guidance and direction when the hand of the Lord is with you. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 10, your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold me fast. His hand represents guidance. It represents protection. But it also represents supernatural strength beyond human ability. Amen. Think about Exodus chapter 13 and verse 9. It says, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. So in the hand of the Lord, there's provision, there's guidance, there's breakthrough, there's favor, and there's even miracles. I like how one writer said it. He said, when the hand of the Lord comes upon you, things move. Things shift. Doors open. Enemies scatter. Strength rises. And what was impossible becomes possible. So he prayed that your hand would be upon me. The next thing that he prayed, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. You see, Jabez had a pure heart. And he was completely sold out for purity and to keep his life from the pain of evil. What Jabez was asking for, he was asking for his sustaining power to keep him. Amen. And in the New Testament, the parallel is this in the Lord's Prayer. Many of you can say it, but at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it says this, and lead me not into temptation. Lead me not into temptation, but keep me from evil. Now, how does God do that? The key word is lead. The Holy Spirit has been given you to you to help you not fall into temptation.
Amen.
He will lead you right out of temptation.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I got this in my heart as I was preparing this message. When we are Spirit-led and Spirit-directed, we will be Spirit-protected. Say it with me. When I am Spirit-led and Spirit-directed, I will be
Spirit-protected.
Lead me not into temptation. I yield to the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me and to keep me from the traps that are set out there for me.
Amen.
How many of you know he has several traps that he would like for you to fall into? But the Holy Ghost knows everything. And when you are in close communion with him, glory to God, he will keep you out of the snare of the fowler. Amen. R.W. Schambach said about Fowler, he says he's called a fowler because he's out there trying to foul everything up. But there's snares and there's traps. How many of you know there's wrong relationships? There's wrong relationships. And the Holy Spirit will keep you out of those relationships. There's wrong people out there that do not mean to do you well. There's wrong, the Bible says, corrupt communications. Wrong relationships corrupt good manners. And so he'll keep us from falling. He'll keep you from making bad decisions. How many of you had to make decisions this past week? Anybody ever made a decision that they kind of sorry that they did make? I'll raise both of my hands. But if we will include him at the top of every decision, if we'll not exclude him, but include him and take the time to get his thoughts concerning the decisions that need to be made. He will protect you.
Amen.
He will keep you.
Yes, he will.
And he will give you wisdom.
Amen.
Lastly, the Bible says, so God granted him what he requested.
Yes.
Heaven always responds to an honorable heart.
Yes.
Heaven always responds to a faith-filled prayer. God delights in granting your requests.
Amen.
I said God delights in granting your requests.
Amen.
He's a grant giver.
Yes,
he's a prayer answering God.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
In John 16, verse 23, notice this with me. Let's read it together. He said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Part of the Amplified Version says that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name. Hallelujah. He's a God of grants. I'm so glad he granted me salvation. I'm so glad when I called on the name of the Lord, he didn't turn away from me aloof and said, oh, that's Mark. No, no. He came to me and opened wide his arms to me. And he will open wide his arms to you as well. He's a God of grants. He will grant you your petitions. What does the word grant mean? It means to bestow freely. It means to give generously. It means to do so with liberality. It also means to release something, listen to this, that has already been approved. To release something that has already been approved. Did you know that in Christ, everything the believer needs is pre-approved? It's pre-approved. If you need wisdom, he'll grant it to you. All you got to do is ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally to all men. Amen. So the wisdom of God has been pre-approved. How about this? The peace of God has been pre-approved. Your peace has already been purchased. In Isaiah, the scripture says that he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. Peace has been purchased. You have been pre-approved to walk in the peace of God. Now, you'll never walk in the peace of God if you're fretting all the time. You'll never walk in the peace of God if you're allowing the fear of the future to weigh you down. You know, over in the book of Philippians, what did he say? He said, be careful for nothing. One translation says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
About anything. Do not fret. Do not carry the care about anything.
Anything.
That means we should be living in the no fear zone. We should be living in the no worry zone. Are there things to worry about? Well, yeah, there's a lot of things to worry about. There's a lot of temptations to just live our lives weighed down by the cares of this life. And that is Satan's design, to try to take God's word out of your heart and out of your life by bringing the cares of this life into your soul. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he said, I want you to cast a third of your care. Cast some of them, but the ones you think you can handle, hold on to them. No. He told you to cast all your care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. So we have been pre-approved to live a carefree life. So what am I going to do when the cares of the life knock on the door of my soul? What are we going to do? We're going to do what the Word says to do. The Word tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. For every destroying, fear-filled thought the devil brings to your soul, God's got an exceeding great and precious promise that will outdo and outweigh any of those other thoughts. Think the thoughts of God. Think the thoughts of God. The scripture says that I will keep him in perfect peace. That word perfect peace is shalom, shalom. He said, I will keep you in a double portion of peace. If now, here's the condition. If you will keep your mind stayed on me. So how is it then that we keep our mind stayed on him? We keep our mind stayed on his word. Find out what his word says about your present condition. And don't be moved by the circumstance around you, but look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it and keep your eyes and mind focused on it, and you'll have a peace that passeth all understanding. And it will keep your heart and it'll keep your mind through Christ Jesus. Glory to God. How many of you are interested, seriously interested, in going through life with a sound mind? How about the rest of you? Are you okay with an unsound mind? Let me ask you, how many of you want to have a sound mind when you check out? A sound mind. A sound mind. Well, a sound mind for you has been pre-approved. He said over in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of what? Of fear, but of power and a love. And what kind of a mind? A sound mind. Say with me, I have the mind of Christ. I have a sound mind. One thing that I say regularly is my mind is my mind. And my mind will serve me well all the days of my life. I'm not interested in losing my mind. I'm interested in living and functioning in a sound mind. So these are things that you've got to partake in. These are things you need to talk to yourself about. Amen. Oh, glory to God. We're getting somewhere this morning. Woo. Everyone say, I'm pre-approved to have a sound mind. And how many of you know that you're pre-approved for divine favor? In Psalm 5:12, the Bible says the favor of God will surround you as with a shield. Amen. Everywhere you go, the favor of God should be manifesting. Amen. Continuous declarations of his favor on your life. Continuous declarations of his favor will bring you into continual manifestations of his favor in your life. Amen. Now say this with me. I have the favor of God. I have favor with God and with man. When the favor of God goes before me, it opens doors that no man can shut. It enlarges my territory. It enlarges my influence. It causes streams of provision to come to me, my family, and my church. I have been pre-approved. The favor of God is mine. I think we should rejoice a little bit over that. Glory to God. Glory to God. We run into situations that do not look favorable, do we not? But I want to encourage you to hold fast to the confession of your faith. Hold fast to God's favor over your life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been pre-approved for strength. Strength. Amen. Strong. Living long. And living strong. Amen. The joy of the Lord, what is it? It is your strength. And so as Jabez prayed, God answered his prayer. And as you pray, God answers your prayer. And one of the scriptures says that your joy may be full. Think about this. Fullness of joy often comes through the vehicle of answered prayer.
Yeah, that's true.
Fullness of joy.
That's right.
It will strengthen you. It will keep you. It will sustain you.
Amen.
And so the question is this, is how then can this prayer be prayed today? Anybody interested in doing that? Stand up, everybody. And we're going to pray this prayer together. And we're going to believe the Lord together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Musicians are coming. Thank you, Lord, for a good word today. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us indeed. Place one hand over your heart and say, Father, I receive your blessing.
Your favor.
Your wisdom.
Your strength.
And your provision. I pray that you would that your grace would rest on my life, on my family, and on my calling. Increase my vision. Open to me doors of influence, windows of light. May your hand be upon me. Empower my words. Empower my decisions and my assignments with your presence and with your anointing. Keep me from evil, from temptation, from wrong alliances, and the pain of poor choices. Let me be a channel of healing and not harm. And I just want to thank you, Lord, that you hear my prayer and you grant my requests and you establish my steps. In the name of Jesus, I believe and I receive right now. So in our joy of generosity season, this prayer can become a pattern for how God wants to enlarge us, enlarge our giving, enlarge our impact. For his glory. Amen.